Imagine being punished for speaking your native language, only to later use that same forbidden tongue to help win a world war. This was the reality for nearly 400 young Navajo men who served as code talkers during World War II. When the United States military discovered they couldn't create codes the Japanese couldn't break, they turned to something unexpected: the complex, unwritten Navajo language that became America's most impenetrable military secret. Through the eyes of Ned Begay, we witness a remarkable journey from cultural suppression to national salvation. As a child, Ned was forbidden to speak Navajo at boarding school, where teachers washed his mouth with soap for uttering even a word in his native tongue. Years later, those same sounds flowing from his lips would save countless American lives on blood-soaked Pacific islands. What makes this story so powerful isn't just the military achievement, but how these men maintained their cultural identity despite decades of attempted erasure, and ultimately used that identity to protect a nation that had tried to destroy it. You must not speak Navajo. You must speak only English. These crushing words greeted young Ki Yaji, later renamed Ned Begay, at Rehoboth Mission School. The cultural assault was immediate. His sacred long hair cut off, traditional clothing replaced with uniforms, and his name changed after administrators misunderstood his Navajo introduction. The school's philosophy: tradition is the enemy of progress. Speaking Navajo brought harsh punishment, soap forced into mouths until foam spilled from nose and lips, while defiant students faced beatings or confinement in dark basements. Ned chose subtle resistance. Outwardly compliant and academically excellent, he secretly maintained his cultural identity. Behind woodsheds or in basement corners, he and others spoke Navajo, sharing songs and stories. Rather than destroying his connection to his language, the school strengthened his determination to preserve it. "I had no idea," Ned reflects, "that someday the very language they were trying to beat out of me would be needed by important white men." When Pearl Harbor thrust America into war, Navajos responded enthusiastically despite centuries of mistreatment. In April 1942, Marine recruiters sought bilingual Navajos for special work, their introduction to becoming code talkers. The Navajo code balanced simplicity and complexity. Words represented English letters: Wallachi, ant for A, and Bishdukish, zinc for Z, with 17 additional words for common letters to prevent frequency analysis. Military terms received specific code words: Tutso, whale for battleship, Guinea, chicken hawk for dive bomber. For Ned, the irony was profound. After years of punishment for speaking Navajo, his native language had become his greatest asset. Speaking freely with fellow code talkers brought unexpected joy, their language finally valued. Ned's combat baptism came during Operation Cartwheel on Bougainville in November 1943. Despite 35,000 Japanese occupying the island, Marines landed at Empress Augusta Bay, away from enemy concentrations. The pre-dawn bombardment illuminated the darkness like exotic blossoms, though many Japanese survived in reinforced bunkers. Landing proved harrowing, as Japanese pillboxes remained hidden and intact. By nightfall, nearly 14,000 Marines and 6,000 tons of equipment were ashore, with 70 Marines killed or missing and 124 wounded. Bougainville's swampy jungle meant waterlogged foxholes amid relentless insects and steamy climate. Tragedy struck when Harry Tsozi died from friendly fire after leaving his foxhole at night. The code proved invaluable when conventional communications failed. During one incident, Marines couldn't stop friendly fire until Ned transmitted in code. Marine generals subsequently requested more code talkers, praising them in official reports. February 1945 brought the largest Marine force ever to assault Iwo Jima, a small volcanic island 600 miles south of Tokyo. Despite months of bombing, Japanese defenses had strengthened under General Kuribayashi: 16 miles of tunnels, hidden artillery, and dummy targets. Before boarding, Ned placed corn pollen on his tongue and head, praying to the holy people. For 30 minutes, 9,000 Marines landed unopposed. Then the Japanese sprung their trap. A hurricane of fire erupted from hidden positions. Ned and Smitty clawed up loose sand terraces like swimming up a waterfall, becoming perfect targets on the plateau. From foxholes, Ned transmitted desperate messages, ammunition requests, strike coordinates, casualty reports. Navajo voices remained calm despite Japanese jamming attempts. Their language held firm amid chaos. After 4 days of advancing inch by bloody inch, Company E captured Mount Suribachi. At 10:15, they raised a small American flag. 6 men, including Louis Charlo, a Crow Indian Marine, participated in this first flag raising. Teddy Draper, the code talker highest on Suribachi, sent the historic message in Navajo code. Marines celebrated with cheers across the beachhead. During this battle, they lost 3 more code talkers. Ned understood the spiritual cost of war. His ancestors knew killing others injures part of oneself, requiring ceremony to restore balance. Despite their crucial role, code talkers couldn't reveal their work after the war. Sworn to secrecy, they returned to reservation life, facing continued discrimination. Unlike white veterans, they couldn't use the GI Bill on reservation lands. Ned suffered terrible nightmares until his family arranged an enemy way ceremony that restored his balance. During it, he had a vision returning to Bougainville at night. Everything once threatening now appeared beautiful, every leaf, flower, and creature in perfect harmony. When he opened his eyes, he was truly home, at peace. The code talker story remained classified until 1969, when computers made their code obsolete. They formed a Code Talkers Association and finally received recognition, including congressional gold medals in 2001. The deeper irony? Many had grandparents who survived the U.S. Army's campaign against the Navajos in the 1860s. The very language government boarding schools tried to eradicate became America's secret weapon. These men who served with distinction, despite centuries of mistreatment, became teachers, business people, artists, and tribal leaders. What does it mean to hold on to your identity when the world tries to strip it away? The Code Talkers answered this question with service, fighting for a country that had tried to erase their culture, and in doing so, preserved both. Their legacy shows that true strength often comes from what others try to take from us. The boarding schools couldn't erase the Navajo language. They only drove it deeper into the hearts of those who spoke it. What was meant to be destroyed became indispensable. When we face pressures to abandon our authentic selves, the Code Talkers offer a powerful lesson. Our greatest contributions often come from the very things others tell us to discard. Their story challenges us to preserve what makes us unique and to recognize that our differences aren't weaknesses. They're potential strengths waiting for the right moment. As Ned tells his grandchildren, "I pray you'll never face battle as I did, but that you'll fight to preserve our language with the same warrior spirit. Let our language keep you strong, and you will never forget what it means to be Navajo, to walk in beauty."